Hey guys, I have a fantastic show for you today on the podcast. I have two guests, Jonathan and Andy Goldman. They are the authors of a new book called The Humming Effect. And this is an episode that I think you're really going to enjoy. You have the power to heal your body with your own voice and your own thoughts. And everything you need to heal, you have. It's in you right now. And this power couple, they just dive into and share their passion about humming and how it can just help you heal and become a better person. Jonathan has so many hats, but just check this out. He is a sound healing pioneer, a master teacher, Grammy-nominated recording artist. He has written several books, and he teaches all over the world. And Andy, well, she's the best way I can describe her is that she's like an angel. You're going to fall in love with her voice and her kindness and gentleness. But this, again, this is such a wonderful episode. If you can grasp the power that you hold right now in your own voice, in your own mind, in your own body, I think you'll enjoy this. So this is the podcast about the humming effect with Jonathan and Andy Goldman. Before we go to the show, a word from our sponsor. So at OSIonline.com, which is the sponsor of the show, you can go and find a movement program to unlock your body. If you feel stoved up, that's an old Southern term for just ain't moving all that well, stiff and immobile, stoved up. If you're feeling stoved up, check out Unlock Your Body so you can like your body. No, so if you're feeling stoked up, check out Unlock Your Body. It will help you like your body and move well in your body so that you can live the life that you want to live. And if you're already moving well and you just want to put a little bit more grit in your crawl, check out Design Your Body. And it is a way to move yourself into unreal levels of strength and resilience. So go to osionline.com and check out Unlock or Design Your Body. All right, guys, now back to the show. Pull up a chair and buckle up. It's the Original Strength Podcast. I am with Jonathan and Andy Goldman, authors of a really neat book, The Humming Effect. I guess my first question is because Jonathan too, like, and Andy, I'm sorry, like I read Jonathan's bibliography and stuff, and oh my gosh, he wears a lot of hats.
Yes, he does.
And I'm sure he's just trying to keep up with you, but I don't know how many hats you wear also. How did you discover or come across the healing effects of sound?
I think what I'm going to do is let Jonathan, as soon as he takes some sip of tea, start with that question, Tim, because he is one of the founding pioneers in the field of sound as a healing modality. And he was working with sound healing way, way before the way it is now perceived of here in the 21st century. He started this way back in the 1900s.
Back in the 1900s. Okay, so there it was. It's actually 1979. I'm playing in a rock and roll band in a seaside bar in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And I am coming back on stage with a band. I strap on my Stratocaster, get up to the microphone, start singing, look out at the audience, and I have this revelation. I become aware that there's an ambiance in the club that is one of negativity and violence, and that this ambiance is no doubt due to the alcohol and the other intoxicants that people were imbibing in. But I knew also that the music that I was creating at that particular time and place was helping contribute to this ambiance, and I had the thought, what if music could be made that would make people feel good? And because I've been playing professionally since I was, for about 15 years before that, believe it or not. I'd never had that thought. I'd never had that thought about, wow, what if music could be used to make people feel good? And that shifted and changed about 10 degrees in about the next week and became, what the sound can be used to heal. And from there, doors just opened up, and what is the expression? The world became my oyster. And literally, I then formed the Sound Healers Association, which was a group dedicated to researching the uses of sound music for healing. Got a degree from Lesley University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, researching the uses of sound music for healing. Took my record company that had been a new wave record company and turned it into a new age company, but I didn't have to change the name of the record company, which was Synchronistically Spirit Music. And it still is today, Spirit Music. And we then began doing therapeutic, transformational music. Somewhere in the mid-1990s, I met this extraordinary being next to me. And she rescued me from a path of desolation. And no, we just had a wonderful resonance together, and life continues to be good.
Yeah. So Jonathan, I like for him to tell that story, Tim, because, you know, right now here on our planet, sound healing is becoming very popular, and more people are tuning in to what sound healing is. But Jonathan, as I mentioned earlier, a founding pioneer in the modern day healing sound field. So I really appreciate you sharing that. Now, when I met Jonathan back in the 1900s too, and that joke is from some friends of ours from North Carolina, by the way.
Well, they're good people.
And anyway, I met Jonathan, and at the time I was, and still am, a licensed holistic psychotherapist, and I was not so much involved in the world of sound other than I had friends who were working with sound, but in my practice I worked with expressive therapies. And then, of course, once I met Jonathan and really delved into how valuable sound is working on an expressive level, helping people, you know, to move through their issues. And, you know, that was what I was doing every day in my psychotherapy practice. And so sound became a huge interest for me. And it was very much in alignment with my work. And then Jonathan and I started working together.
We actually met at, shall we say, an initiatory experience created by a friend of ours named Don Campbell, who was a friend of both of ours, and he was...
I'll do this.
And Don is also a person considered to be one of the major pioneers in sound healing. He's passed on the planet, but he left behind a whole legacy of information. He wrote a book called The Mozart Effect, which is probably in the early 21st century. The Mozart Effect was like just huge, showing that classical music could help increase concentration, focus of attention, had different purposes. And his book was, you know, New York Times bestseller. But anyway, Don introduced us both. Blessed be.
And it's interesting because we started working together, and I continued with my psychotherapy practice, and then I started teaching with Jonathan, and then we started writing books together and really, you know, sharing more together. And so I ended up really becoming more of a teacher in sound, which was really great, because with my background as a psychotherapist, when people are working with sound, emotions do come up and issues come up, and working with sound can really help the healing process.
One of the things I want to suggest is we're going to like discover a little later on, but like, sometimes I jump around, is the fact that the conversational voice can be a very, very healing instrument. And because of that, Andy was doing healing through the telephone. She had a service called Telecounsel, which basically was where she would have inbound people call her and she'd speak to them and help heal them over the phone. And it really takes a lot to be able to basically listen to somebody's voice and then project healing frequencies through the phone. And she was very successful. She was written up in the New York Times and all this other stuff. And I like to say that she was, if you like, the godmother of modern day coaching, believe it or not.
Because now, I mean, people are online, they're on Zoom. Prior to that, they were phone. But no one was doing that back when I started telecounsel. And I was able to reach people who were homebound and who were not able to get to a therapist. And I would do hour-long sessions with them. And it was really very, very helpful. But Jonathan mentioned something that was very important, because our major focus through all of this has been working with the voice. And we teach people how to use their voice to help heal. And of course, we have worked with so many different,
whether it's Tibetan bowls,
mantras, Tibetan bowls,
tuning forks. I have my toys here.
Crystal bowls.
Musical instruments. I have a number of award-winning, best-selling, musical pieces, etc. And these are all relevant. But Tim, we all have a voice, if we can speak. And the voice doesn't require electricity, no batteries needed. The owner's manual is relatively easy to use. And because it can also, if you like, project a lot of consciousness and intent, we just love using it. And bottom line is that this is what we want to kind of focus our talk on with you, if that is, just because the more people who can basically get the gestalt of the power of sound to heal and transform, the better our purpose for being on this planet is.
Yeah. Well, and Tim, we know you found us through coming across our book, The Humming Effect. And that is, we're going to talk more about that during the podcast. But, Jonathan, I want to just sort of set those foundations.
Set the foundation.
Yeah, because as I was mentioning, so many people are getting involved with sound as a healing modality. And because we've been in the field so long, a lot of people just coming in may or may not be too grounded in the actual foundational aspects. So we came up with what we call the four pillars of sound.
The four pillars of sound healing, yeah.
And those four pillars are what anchor in the ability to really begin to work with sound, those people who are interested in this. And so those four pillars are, we'll just name them and then we'll talk about each one. And then that's going to actually take us into the humming effect. But the four pillars of sound healing. First one, everything is vibration. Everything is vibration.
Second one is intent is powerful.
Intention is a key in working with sound. The third one is we are all unique vibratory beings. One size doesn't fit all. People are going to respond to different sounds in their own unique way. And the fourth one,
silence,
is golden. And that's an interesting one for many people, because when you're working with sound, sometimes being aware of how important the silence is after you work with the sound is really, really a foundational aspect of sound healing. So those are the four pillars of sound. And Jonathan, you go ahead.
Yeah, well, just I'm going to do a Tibetan deep voice, which is not one of the sounds that we normally make. But let's see if and that is a very cool sound. but it's not something we normally teach. But I just did that to clear my throat.
Well, I am very impressed. Like, that came out of a human.
Yeah. It's from the Tibetan monks, and I was originally one of the first Western humans who was able to create that sound. And I picked it up just from recording this group of Tibetan monks, very sacred group of Tibetan monks called the Gyume monks, back in 1986. And we took the recording that we had made of them in the recording studio, and I was basically, I fell asleep in my crystal meditation room in Boston, where I was living in LA, and woke up the next morning. I had the deep voice. It was extraordinary. It was really miraculous on a level, because that's...
Well, that doesn't happen at all. People have to work very hard at developing that sound. And of course, the Tibetan monks, you know, spend their lifetime, you know, doing that sound. So that was a real gift from the universe.
Right. And interestingly enough, an album that I created working with one of the Dalai Lama's favorite chant masters, Lama Tashi, was actually nominated for a Grammy using the deep voice, because he and I became brothers of the deep voice. All right, anyhow, more on this. Back to the four pillars.
Yes, and Tim, you jump in here. Have a question or two that you'd like to ask us.
I got so many questions, but I'm a sponge. You guys keep going. Like, me on the hook.
So everything is vibration. And well, you know, our ancient mystics and our modern physicists are in agreement. Everything is in a state of vibration. And the Lord said, let there be light. In the beginning was the Word. Sound preceding light. The Word. In the Hindu tradition, they say, not a Brahman. The world is sound. They also say, in the beginning was Brahman, with whom is the Word. In all these different traditions, you have an understanding of life, the universe, and everything being created solely through the power of vibration. And now, of course, in modern quantum physics, they have the super string theory, which talks about different, if you like, universes literally being based upon different vibrational frequencies and coexisting together in different elements of time and space because of the difference in vibration. So the idea that everything is in a state of vibration. And we, just as a note, sound as an energy form travels as a wave. It is measured, what they say, cycles per second. Scientifically, it's called hertz. We hear from around 16 of these hertz, these very slow, deep waves, so around 16,000. But our finny friends in the ocean, the dolphins, can make and receive information upwards of 180,000 cycles a second, more than 10 times our greatest level of hearing. So just because we can't hear something doesn't mean that there isn't a sound. Now, from the electrons moving around the nucleus of an atom, the planets and distant galaxies moving around their suns, they're all in a state of vibration. Conceptually, if they're in a state of vibration, they're creating a sound. Whether it's audible or not is not necessary. And this includes our bodies. Every part of our body is in a state of resonance, a state of natural, if you like, vibratory health. And we say it is indeed, when we're feeling good, we're in sound health. So we're kind of like this orchestra that's playing the overall symphony of the self. And every organ, every bone, every tissue, every part of the body is just vibrating in its wonderful, natural, harmonic resonance together. But what happens? The second violin player loses their sheet music. They begin to play out of tune, out of harmony. Pretty soon, the entire string section is off. Pretty soon, the entire orchestra sounds funky. This is, if you like, akin to a part of our body vibrating out of ease, out of harmony. And we say it is diseased. So the basic principle of sound healing is simply to give the string player back their sheet music, somehow restore to the body its natural, healthy vibratory frequency. And that's also the basis of so many different alternative therapies. Mm-hmm. Whether it is chromotherapy, that's light therapy, or even acupuncture or chiropractic, all based upon this idea of putting the body back into its energetic vibrational balance. Does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first thing. Everything is vibration. Yeah. We could talk for an hour on this, but instead we're going to move to the next one.
Well, we're kind of just giving an overview here, but there's so much information about all four of these pillars that we could literally spend a whole, a long lifetime, which we've done practically. But the second pillar is intent is powerful. And as we've been working with sound, you know, from, you know, years and years, we know that the thoughts that we are holding when we are sounding, the energy that is holding the vibration of our thoughts, intention coupled with the sound is what then can really accelerate healing. Now, Jonathan, 40 years ago, created a formula that I'm going to ask you to talk about, Jonathan, but it is frequency plus intent equals healing. Frequency, meaning the sound, coupled with the intention, what thoughts are we holding in our mind, in our consciousness, and that those two things coupled together can equal that. That healing outcome. And the way that Jonathan came up with this formula is a great story. So I'm going to hand you the talking stick here.
So Tim, I was engaged in a master's degree program from Lesley University. I had a pile of papers about Yo Big. This when people still had hard copy papers. And they were all different systems of using sound and music for healing. Yes, you got one there, except there's this high. And I'm in front of a computer, dating myself, that's using a DOS operating system. And literally, the screen was black, and it used amber gold kind of cursor letters on it. And I come from a family of doctors, father, grandfather, brother, all medical doctors. I'm basically, I'm going to be the first person who's correlated all this information about the different systems that use sound for healing and come up with this compendium of knowledge. And it was great. Until I began putting them together, and I saw that Dr. X would be using a particular set of frequencies for a particular organ, and Dr. Y would be using a completely different set of frequencies for either the same organ or for different organs. You'd have Spiritual Master A using a mantra for one chakra, one energy center, Spiritual Master B using a completely different mantra for either the same chakra or for a different chakra. And I went, oh my God, how can this be? How can this be? I'm sitting in front of this computer, rocking back and forth with my head, my hands in a state of intellectual angst. And I'm going, oh, goodness gracious, this does make sense. How can this be? How can this be? And I hear this voice say, it is not only the frequency of the sound that creates the effect, but also the intention of the person making and receiving the sound. And I wrote down the words, frequency plus intent equals healing. This was early in the 1980s, and now 40 years later, I'm telling you, it is more relevant than ever. When I first started, I talked to different scientists and medical doctors about the possibility of the importance of intentionality. They would look at me like I was some sort of really strange person, which I well may be. But now we have different best-selling books on the power of intention or the biology of belief. A dear friend of ours named Bruce Lipton has written that, which is wonderful, highly recommended. A fellow by the name of Masaru Emoto did this brilliant work on water and how water crystallizes with different intentionality and different frequencies. So nowadays we talk about intention. People go, oh yeah, I understand. Intention, once again, is basically the consciousness that we have and can encode upon the sound, just as a thought. You ever been to a party and somebody says, lovely to see you, and you feel like you've been psychically slimed? Because while the words, the frequency may have been lovely to see you, their intention was, you so-and-so, you know, get out of my way, and you feel it, you pick it up. Yeah. So once again, this is part of we absorb also the intention and the consciousness, which is why sound can affect different people differently, which brings us to our next fabulous pillar of sound healing.
The third one we want to share is we are all unique vibratory beings. And by that, we mean that just as we have, you know, our unique thumbprint, our unique voice print. Mm. You know, we are affected by sounds very differently. You know, I may hear a piece of beautiful music that just goes right to my heart. And someone else may hear that same piece of music and it may remind them of a, you know, really negative experience they may have had. And so each one of us really does experience the sounds, the music, the vibrations, really in our own unique vibratory way. And we like to go back to the part where we like to say one size does not fit all. And that is such an important point to really hold, because we are all very unique. And I know Jonathan always likes to share when we're doing workshops, he always likes to say, okay, how many people in the workshop are allergic to penicillin? And, you know, about a fourth of the group will end up raising their hand. And so we like to say, you know, that's a vibration, that's a frequency. And obviously it doesn't work for everyone.
For three quarters of the people or more, it might be healing, but for 20%, it might be a toxic element. And therefore, whether you're dealing with a pharmaceutical, a sound, a food, or anything, there are people who can be allergic, who don't resonate and vibrate. And this, Tim, this is so, as Andy was saying, one size does not fit all. And we are, unfortunately, in the realm of sound healing, a lot of people get into, oh, here's this frequency, take it for this or take it for that. Yeah. And it really mostly doesn't work that way, because there's so much going on and so many people are so unique and so different. And also a lot of it depends upon how the sound is transmitted. And, you know, if you believe, for example, that a specific frequency is going to have a specific effect, it's probably going to be pretty good for you. And, you know, so there are all sorts of different elements. Does this make sense to you now? Also.
It does. Yeah. No, I'm tracking with you. You got, and what you don't know is, and this is just such a weird coincidence, but when I found the humming effect, like I did not read the humming, and this is just weird, but I was reading this book called You Are the Placebo.
Oh, Joe Dispenza, sure.
Okay. So the next book I read was The Humming Effect. And I had no idea that you guys would even talk about You Are the Placebo and stuff, and you would reference that book. And I was like, what are the odds of all of this?
Don't use my music in his meditations, which is a blessing. He does great work. But all right, continuing on to this idea that we are all unique vibratory beings. And then the last one, because we want to talk about obviously humming next, but silence is golden. And this, I think, is Andy's favorite.
Well, and what we'll be doing today, Tim, is after we talk more about the humming effect, et cetera, we will guide the group, guide the whoever may be listening to this, you know, in a brief exercise where they will actually get to hum and experience in their own bodies, minds, and spirits what that is like for them. And so at the end of that, we will be in silence for, and you know, obviously it's a podcast, for a few moments, but when we are doing, you know, our sound practice, we are in silence for as long as we make sound, because it is in the silence that those shifts and those changes really occur. And so also it's in that silence, you know, once we've sounded and we've utilized and, you know, our voice primarily is how we work, then we are in silence, and it is amazing when you begin to listen to your inner voice and your inner wisdom. And that happens when we're in silence.
Yes, it's the place of silence is really the place where the major shifts and changes occur after we've vibrated with the sound. And we like to say that silence is the yin, the yang of sound. So they equally need to be honored. And there is, if you like, an anagram that we're going to share with you. Did you know that the word silent and the word listen are anagrams?
They have exactly the same letters in them.
I did not know that. Now you've messed up my mind for the rest of the day.
Now, why is that? You know.
And so when you think about that, how clever of whoever in the English language put those two.
Because when you, if you like, are in silence, then you can listen within.
Yeah.
But it's really, really very important. And it's something we share, because once again, people become so enamored with making sound that they don't understand that you need to be in silence to really assimilate the energy. This took me about 15, 20 years to really get, and I had this at an extraordinary, this fellow Don Campbell was doing a major presentation. And I was sitting next to a fellow and we were all making sound. They said, now be in silence. And all of a sudden this guy's still like, ah, and I would go, shh. And he didn't get it because he was so enamored with me, how cool it felt to make sound. But then it feels equally cool to be in silence and really just get it.
And Tim, we also like to talk about two ways that sound affects us. And those two ways, first way, psychoacoustics, second, vibroacoustics. And we're going to briefly share what each of those terms actually mean. Psychoacoustics is when the sound goes in through our ears and travels down our auditory pathways up into our brains. And the sound then is affecting our brain waves. It's affecting our respiration, our heart rate, our breathing. And so when we are working with sound in a psychoacoustic way, it's really sound can so help to heal, because when you think about being able to shift your breathing, shift your brain waves, your heart rate, your respiration, you can go into states where you are in calm, balanced energy, which is what sound can do.
I mean, truly, music, for example, mostly psychoacoustic, your voice. So when we're speaking, if we're encoding it with intention, it can be very calming, can be very soothing. And so we want to really suggest to people that you really be cautious about the words you use and the energy that you project when you're in conversational voice, because a conversational voice can heal or it can do the opposite of that. So I just want to share that with everybody.
So we experience sound through psychoacoustics.
And then the other, drum roll,
is
vibroacoustics.
Vibroacoustics. They're kind of similar.
And that's where the sound vibrates into the body, almost like a sonic massage, going into you on a cellular level, affecting you down to a molecular and even a DNA level. And that's really, really important. A lot of the research that's happened has been due to these psychoacoustic effects, how sound goes into the ear and what it does to the brain. But I'm very, very interested, particularly in the use of sound when it goes into the body, actually shifting and changing. Here is a quote from the New York Times Science section, February 8th, 1988. Sound shaped into dazzling tool can make, break, or rearrange molecular structure. So if you can rearrange molecular structure, and that is like such a potent phenomena, and another way of, and once again, we make this delineation between psychoacoustics in the ear and vibroacoustics going into the body, but they're, you know, it's not totally separated for the most part, because as we speak to you, unless you're wearing indeed earbuds and the sound is going directly into your ear, if you're listening to an orchestra or something live or people speaking live, the sound waves are going into your body. And of course, certain types of sound waves will be much more specifically into the body, which is why, for example, we're going to be dealing with the hum, which is the most powerful vibroacoustic sound that we can make. But first, we're going to tell you why we work with the hum. How about that?
That's the question I want to know.
Well, here, we're going to answer that question for you, Tim, right now. And we have been working, as you know, for many years in sound. We've worked with so many different mantras and toning exercises, vowel sounds.
Harmonics, even the Tibetan deep voice.
And what we wanted to do, we wanted to find a way to introduce sound as a healing modality to the general public, to people who may have not had a clue what is sound healing? You know, I've heard about it, but I don't understand it. And so what we wanted to do was come up with some form that we could take out to the public and to introduce them to sound healing in a way that they could understand. And so as we were talking about how we wanted to do this, of course, we always like to say, we looked at each other and we just went...
Well, we were looking for a sound that everybody could do. Just because before we go there, just want to say that most people are really, really subconscious about their voice. Most people, it's because of American Idol or The Voice, but we become so judgmental. And we were before these shows ever showed up, but even now it's like, you know. So we would be teaching, and we'd be teaching a lot of sound stuff, and then we'd come back a year later and say, how many of you are doing these exercises? And a couple of people would raise their hand in a really large audience. And we realized something is going on where people, we need to find that sound that nobody has any issues about being judgmental about. And we said, what is that sound?
Well, that sound is, we're going to write a book about humming. We had been working with humming, obviously, as one of the, you know, the sounds that we had been working with. But we wanted, you know, a sound that people were not judgmental about.
Right.
Because so many people, oh, I'm not a singer. Oh, I'm not a musician. I can't possibly work with sound as a healing modality. And so we decided, and this was, you know, what, 3 or 4 years ago, that we would write a book.
Six or seven
by now. Eight. Oh my, yes, that pandemic kind of blew everything out. We forget. It made life non-existent. But anyway, so we wrote our book, Tim, called The Humming Effect. The Humming Effect, Sound Healing for Health and Happiness. And we chose the title, The Humming Effect, because we knew that people... they would immediately know what we were going to be talking about in this book. Now, there had not been a professionally published book on humming prior that we knew about prior to our book. And so then when we actually started putting it all together, it was like, well, wait a minute. How are people going to really take us seriously? Because,
right,
you know, humming.
You know, humming.
Is,
yeah, hey.
You know, I mean, it's like, when they're writing a book about humming. So... to address that issue, the whole first chapter of our book, which you probably know since you've, you know, read it, is nothing but peer-reviewed research on the effects of humming and how humming affects us on a physiological level, a emotional level. It affects our whole mind, body, spirit, being.
And for those who might not know, peer review simply means scientific medical, usually journals that have been, you know, really, if you like, rigorously researched and found to be true. And while they may not actually be true, it's certainly much more than just making stuff up. And there's some really, really powerful things about the hum that we're going to share with you and your listeners now and forever, because this is information that is encoded. And if you think about this, powerful.
Well, when we are simply humming, and we call this conscious humming because we have a very, you know, particular protocol that we, you know, do teach when we are teaching conscious humming. But when we are humming, whether it's humming for 30 seconds, whether it's humming for 1 minute, 5 minutes, however long, there's a lot of physiological things that are happening in our bodies, such as our blood pressure is lowered simply by humming consciously. Our blood pressure is lowered. Our heart rate is lowered. There are many different hormones are emitted, such as melatonin, oxytocin, which is the trust hormone. There's a very important molecule that is emitted when we hum, and that is nitric oxide. And that is a vasodilator, so it's putting more oxygen into the blood cells. Jonathan, jump in with this.
I will. Okay, nitric oxide. which, believe it or not, has nothing to do with being a dentist's office. That's nitrous oxide, which is wonderful, but nitric oxide, different molecule. 1990s Science Magazine voted it the molecule of the year. It is a vasodilator, which means that it literally loosens up your circulatory system, which is so important for all sorts of getting different nutrients into your body and through your body, such as oxygen through your circulatory system. But also what nitric oxide does is that it's an antiviral agent. So when you hum and do conscious humming, such as we're gonna be showing you, basically the nasal cavity starts vibrating a whole lot, and you generate 15 times the amount of nitric oxide that is normally generated through different techniques, and that will kill viruses and bacteria. Read for yourself what that can possibly do, because a lot of the nasty critters that encode themselves into our body first lodge themselves in the sinuses, in the nasal cavity. And if you can do humming and get rid of that, how cool is that? We've had lots of people write to us about, you know, taking care of problems such as sinusitis, which is an inflammation in the sinus cavity that, you know, they've been working with various pharmaceuticals and, you know, hasn't worked successfully. They start humming, and it does. How cool is that? Yeah. And that has been scientifically researched. Yeah.
So you know, there's a lot about humming that can be so beneficial and so healing. And when we talk about conscious humming, we have developed certain protocols that we want to share with you, Tim, and because we do want to, you know, take you through a brief exercise with your own humming. But first thing we do is we talk about, notice where, what you're feeling in the moment before you start humming.
Check
you
yourself
know, check
out.
In and check yourself out. And of course, with every conscious hum that we do, it is preceded by a deep belly breath, a diaphragmatic breath. We want to always take that deep breath. And on the inhale, we breathe from the belly. On the exhale, that is when we hum. And so the breathing is a very important part of conscious humming. And then we like to make sure that people close their lips when they are humming.
Tim, just to demonstrate, if you play with us for a second, would you make sure your lips are closed and then just make a hum and pinch your nose so you can, and
here, let's do it.
We'll do it all together. Should we go?
Let's hum and then we'll pinch our nose.
You can't hum if your nose is pinched, because basically your nasal cavity is resonating. If you stop the resonance through pinching your nose, you stop the hum. So we say to people, okay, if you didn't know that you can't hum if your nose is pinched, are there maybe some other things about the hum that you might not have known about? And once again, so you need to have your lips closed, because this is really what creates the whole power of the vibroacoustic effect, because anytime you make a self-created sound, it's going to be a wonderful inner massage. But notice if I'm going, great, but the sound is then beginning to go out, and it's, some of the sound energy is lost by, you know, projecting it out. So you keep your lips closed.
And also we want to hum on one note. In other words, we want to keep our hum consistent and on a comfortable pitch. Oftentimes the conversational voice is a comfort zone level for when we're humming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to, I know we're talking about a lot of different things, but when we actually start humming, you'll find that it's very simple.
Right.
And we're just sort of, you know, teasing it apart right now. And so then we want to hum for maybe 4 or 5 hums and then take a little break and be in silence.
So we'll repeat those. Number one, tune in and check yourself out. Number two, don't forget to do a deep, relaxed breath. That's maybe the most important thing. Without breath, there is no sound. And breath is just one of the things we didn't mention, but what does happen is you get what is called vagal toning. The vagus nerve is affected. And that's partly because of the sound, the vibrations of the hum will be resonating the vagus nerve, and also working with nice deep breathing helps. Basically, what does this do? This calms you down, lowers heart rate, blood pressure, etc. Keep your lips closed. Hum on one note. You don't want to do zippity-doo-dah or whatnot. You just want to do one note, because basically that way the vibration just encodes upon itself and doesn't move all around. Do it in a comfortable pitch. Okay, comfortable pitch. Louder isn't necessarily better. Just being able to feel it and enjoy it. Do it for 3, 4, 5 times, and finally be in silence after that. We're going to do this now, but all those things, and they're pretty easy. Once we start doing it all together, everybody go, oh, this is easy. But we created these protocols just to help
people, right, to understand the conscious humming, basically. So Tim, shall we do a brief experiential piece right now? Would that be
okay? Let's do it.
All right, sir. All right.
Let's vibrate.
Let's vibrate. Thank you.
Okay. So what we will do is we'll guide you through a series of maybe 4 hums. Yeah.
Sure.
Let's do 4 hums. And the way that we start, we ask you to close your eyes and sit, if you can, with your spine, your back straight. And what we're going to do to start with, we're going to just take a few nice, deep, diaphragmatic breaths. We call those belly breaths. You can even put your hands on your belly, and as you inhale, your belly will extend. And just take some nice, deep breaths, and let go of those breaths, even let them go with a sigh, and just breathe and let go of anything that you don't need right now, any anxiety, anything that's not serving you for your highest good. So we'll take a couple more deep breaths. And now we'll go ahead and formally do our conscious humming.
We ask everybody to hum along with us.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So nice deep breath in and exhale, bringing out that hum. Here we go. Breathing in. Nice deep inhale and breathing in. And one more nice deep breath in. And now we'll take just a few moments and be in silence.
Check yourself out again. Do you feel any difference in the way that you, anything in your body, your brain, your emotions, do you feel a little different?
What are you noticing? Just allowing in the silence. the sound to make those shifts and changes.
And we only made sound for a minute or two, but, you know, for myself, I'm a little lightheaded and blissed out from just having done that. Kim, how do you feel?
Energized, electric almost.
Yeah.
And I was curious too, you may have noticed, I mean, I always do, but when we take that first breath, you know, we're not quite as relaxed, and then we hum. And then as we do the second one, we find our hum becomes more
expansive.
And then the third one and the fourth one. And I don't know if you had that experience or not, but...
there was only four hums, you know, yeah. by golly, we could have gone on longer, and the effect would have been more profound. And the silence, of course, is, you know, because we're doing a podcast, we wouldn't be sitting there.
Exactly.
We could, but what a bore for people to be watching. But when you do it, and I know that you have probably been practicing humming on your own, yes?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. It's very nice. Also, just the thought, and it, like, you're talking about mixing your thoughts with the hum and sound, but just the thought that you could heal yourself with your own voice is, to me, like, I don't know, hopeful is not a great word, because it's so powerful. So, like, that is a very extremely hopeful thought that you have what you need to create healing in your body.
Beautiful. And Tim, and if you add the aspect of intention onto that, then you can really empower and amplify the power of the hum even more. Are you doing it to relax yourself? Are you doing it because you have a headache or a tummy ache or whatnot? Because literally, with your intention, you don't really need to change the tonality, you can, of the hum. But just with your focus of intention, you can send energy and vibrational energy to any part of your body, mind or spirit. You can amplify what's called the aura or the biofield with this. It's quite an amazing phenomenon. I mean, as Andy said, we have worked with advanced mantras, advanced tones, etc. But if you think, you know, for many years, but if you think about it, here's one. For a lot of people into yoga these days, so a lot of people know about something called the Yoga Sutras by someone named Patanjali's, or Patanjali's, depending upon your part of India that you're from. And more than 3,000 years ago, he wrote a book called the Yoga Sutras. And basically, Sutra 1.27 says, and this is my translation of it, based upon Swami Satchidananda's translation, but he basically said, and Satchidananda, incidentally, was a Woodstock guru, and I was at Woodstock, so I really like him as a guru. But he's a wonderful being, and you know, it says, the original sound of creation was pranava, the humming of prana. They had to give it a name, so they called it om. So in other words, and then you go, so the om came from the hum. And there's actually a very advanced yogic practice called Brahmari Pranayama, or Brahmari Pranayama, which is basically humming. It's very advanced Chab yogic practice. So even though this seems very simple, as we show in our book, it can get very complicated and very powerful, to the degree that we even project the concept that you can do neurogenesis, or making new connections inside your brain using your own self-created sound.
So I don't know if you know this, but nitric oxide also helps with neuroplasticity.
Mm-hmm.
So that really, you really could create new neural connections in your brain.
And you know, the thing that I like to also mention about conscious humming, I mean, as a psychotherapist, you know, people are so stressed and so filled with anxiety, and you know, our current culture is really, you know, sort of infuses that. And we have the power, we within our own selves, we can be our own therapist simply by setting the intention. I'm going to hum. I'm going to hum the stress away. I am going to let that hum come and transmute my anxiety. And you can actually, it's very empowering when you start working with conscious humming just to help yourself in any given moment, really. So if you can't get to your therapist to even do your whatever deep work, you are your own therapist through conscious humming.
And indeed, if you've got a stressful situation coming up, a meeting or a phone call or whatnot, just sit there and hum for a minute or two. It'll reduce your heart rate, your respirations, your blood pressure will go down to pharmaceutical levels without taking anything. It's quite an amazing tool.
Yeah. And Tim, I know we have so much that we are just so happy that we've been able to share and so much more that we could share. But before we do go, I do like to read a quote that we have on the back of our book that was, humming effect, that was written by Dr. Bruce Lipton, who wrote The Biology of Belief. And he says about the humming effect, "I highly recommend the humming effect for all those impacted by the stress of the modern world. It is a powerful, non-pharmaceutical prescription for self-healing that has only positive side effects, such as harmony, health, and happiness." And so I like to share that when we talk about the levels of stress in our culture.
Yeah.
Simply by consciously humming, we can change our lives.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question about humming here's my question. If someone wants to optimally give themselves a healing dose of humming so they can be their best version of themselves, and so that they can be a better version out in the world, because when you're not concerned about yourself, it's easier to give yourself to others, right? To serve the world. What would you recommend for the optimal humming dose to be?
Well, we have a lot of different exercises in our book.
Okay.
But honestly, Tim, one of the things that Jonathan and I do, and this might be helpful, we will spend about 5 minutes and we will hum. And it's interesting because we actually count. You can do about 25 hums in about 5 minutes.
With deep breaths in between.
You know, you're going to be breathing and humming. And so our practice for ourselves is, 5 minutes, and then we go into meditation. Mm-hmm. And so you can hum as much as, is appropriate for you in, whatever given moment. And if you only had a couple of minutes where you could sit quietly and not be disturbed and begin to hum and then be in silence for a little bit, even a short practice like that is beneficial.
Right. A little is better than nothing. And humming is cumulative, as is sound. So the more you do it, the more experience you have, the easier it is to get powerful therapeutic effects. So your question is a great one. And we just want to say whatever a person has time for.
Yeah. We would just encourage everyone to
try.
To do conscious humming and to, feel the shifts and changes we all felt today.
And as you were talking, another thing we could have done, for example, as we hummed, was visualize this bright golden healing light encompassing every cell of our body. I mean, you can do all sorts of different visualizations. So once again, the idea of humming simply amplifying the power of our consciousness to create what we want to manifest.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think I know the answer to this one, but could you hum for someone else?
Sure.
Long distance healing,
of course.
Absolutely.
And they don't even have to know about it. I mean, we could get into the whole quantum aspect of that, the oneness and the fact that there's interconnectedness going on all over the place. So, of course, humming or oming for someone else, whatever, making a sound for someone else, with the intentionality, sometimes helpful if you tell them, hey, be prepared, see if you can pick this up. We do that all the time.
We do all the time. All the time, Tim.
That's
so
awesome.
Yes is the answer to that question. And also, Tim, I want to mention that people can go to our website, which is healingsounds.com. Sounds is plural. And we have just a ton of information about sound, about humming, about sound in general. And we have free downloads. And, you know, there's just a lot. It's a very educational website.
So.
So the book is The Humming Effect, and it is a good book. And to me, it's fascinating. It's intriguing, right? Like
we're
just
so happy
again,
you found us.
I'm happy I found you. Also though, I checked out your website, the healingsounds.com.
Yeah.
And the material that you offer on there, I thought was great, but you also offer online courses that people can, if they want to learn more.
Absolutely.
After reading The Humming Effect, that they can sign up for, right? Yeah. Because I've already been looking at those too, thinking, well, how about that? Do you mind? You have time for one more question?
Sure.
Do you guys like peanut butter?
We love peanut butter.
And you know, if somebody would tell me that peanut butter were the worst thing, which they might, I've read that and I go, hey, well, if that depends upon your belief system, if you want to encode the peanut butter with that energy form, boy, okay, but you know me, we love it.
We like peanut butter.
The reason for asking,
and I like you. It's something I try to ask everyone I have on the show because I have a love for peanut butter as well, and it's actually fitting for you guys because if there's a food that can help you hum, to me, it's going to be peanut butter.
Oh,
guys, I really appreciate this. It's been a lot of fun having you on the show.
Tim, thank you for having us, and thank you for finding The Humming Effect, and just share conscious humming with as many people as you can.
And let us know what we'll try to share. This has been a most intriguing and fun interview. We want to end this presentation, if you like this communication, by just sharing one of our favorite little thoughts.
Our mantra, we heal ourselves.
We heal the planet.
We heal the planet.
We heal ourselves. We have a choice, and we can make a difference.
And we send blessings of love and light through sound to you, Tim, and to all of our listeners. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Now get outside and play.